Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Life Classes. It's been a few weeks, and I'm Christy Bemis, author, speaker, psychotherapist, and an Ignite Your Life coach. I'm so excited you're here with me today. I am here to share with you a life class around the topic of how to handle disappointment when you are the recipient of the disappointment or when you are actually the doer of the disappointment and handling it when you disappoint other people. It's a natural part of life, and it's one of the hardest life lessons I've had to learn. I'm especially working on it this past year. It's been a couple months that I've really been diving in deep to how I disappoint others and how I handle that. And so you are in the right place if you are wanting to live life more richly. You want to deepen your intimacy and your connection in all of your relationships with other people. And you really want to ignite your life so that you live your best life now and not someday. I'm the co-founder and now solo owner of Hot Pink University and recently launched this series of life classes on a variety of topics to ignite your life. You can find me on the web at www.hotpinkyou.com or at Facebook at Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. You will always find ways to be inspired to reignite your life with passion, with greater purpose, and an abundance of play. Let's dive in today and talk about disappointment. I want you to think about Hot Pink University life class as something you wish you would have known, something that they didn't necessarily teach you in school. So grab a pen and a journal, and let's dive in deep. I am so glad to be offering this life class on disappointment. When I think about the classes that I want to teach, that I want to lead you through, this one came to me because right around the time of January, February, March, I was dealing with a significant amount of maybe grief, loss, sadness, maybe a little frustration around how I was disappointing another. I was in new relationships, and I was kind of being called out on some things that maybe I needed to change or do differently in order to dive in deeper to the relationship. And what I was recognizing at the time was I couldn't necessarily or didn't really want to make some of the changes that were being asked of me. And so I had to stand my ground and potentially even lose the relationship. But here's the thing, when we do stand in our truth, and not in a stubborn way of, I'm not going to make a change, you can't make me kind of thing, stomping our feet, but more in an adult way of, the thing that you're asking of me will disconnect me from myself. Thing that you are asking of me that is disappointing you, if I make that change, will not be loving towards me or will disconnect me from myself. That's the time where you need to stand your ground and handle and deal with the disappointment. And this is a part of boundary setting, but it's also a part of long-term and loving relationships. So I'm hoping that you have your journal and pen with you so you can take some notes as we move through how to handle when others disappoint us. And then eventually, towards the end of our time together, we'll handle how do we handle when we are the doer of disappointment, when we are doing disappointment to others. Okay. So diving in, what is disappointment and what does it feel like in our bodies? For me, in my body, when I disappoint someone, it is a deep, deep disconnected feeling from them. I feel like I'm kind of spiraling into the shame loop, and my body feels tight. My chest feels heavy. In some ways, I feel like crying. And in some ways, and maybe some of you can relate, I move right into anger and outburst sometimes when I disappoint somebody else. It's almost like a deflection. It's almost like a shield that I wield to, like, as if bullets of disappointment are coming at me, and I'm putting up my Wonder Woman shield, and I'm like, no way, no, I'm not gonna take that in, right? I'm not gonna let you hurt me by being disappointed, right? And so it's a deep feeling of hurt and shame sometimes. When we disappoint others, it can feel devastating and, like, incredibly disconnecting. And here's the thing, when other people disappoint us, it can feel similar or a little different. It can feel like hatred. It can feel projection. It can be a trigger. When somebody disappoints us, it can be a trigger all the way back to childhood and attachment stuff around our parents disappointing us or not meeting our needs. I remember a time where I had a track meet, and I really thought one or both of my parents were going to show up. And I remember looking over my shoulder the whole time. It was so distracting. And when neither of them showed up, it was so devastating to me. And to this day, that sticks in my mind. It's this, like, devastating feeling that somebody didn't meet my expectations, and therefore somebody doesn't love me enough. And that's where disappointment can sometimes go. It can make us feel unlovable. And we can even say to our loved ones, if you love me, you would change this behavior or the way of showing up in our relationship that is doing damage to me. But here's the thing. When we connect our lovability or our love with disappointment, we will be in error, because disappointment is a natural part of every long-term relationship. People will be people, and they will disappoint us. So the dictionary says that disappointment is a feeling of sadness or displeasure, which is caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. A person, event, or thing can cause disappointment, right? And if you've been following me for a while, you would know, and I repeat this in my psychotherapy practice time and time and time again, that all stress or distress in our life comes from expectations. One word, expectations. And here's the thing about expectations. Now, this is contradictory, maybe, to some things that you might have heard about disappointment. But it's not that our set of expectations are too high. In fact, I don't want you to lower your expectations about other people. I don't want you to settle. I don't want you to just take what, you know, what you can. But have high expectations for how you deserve to be loved, how you deserve to be treated, how you deserve to move through life. And have high expectations for yourself, how you deserve to love and dreams that you want to have. Like, have these high expectations. But here's the thing. It's not that our expectations are too high, and I think that's what's the contradictory thing to what articles you might read around disappointment or research that you might read about expectations being too high for ourselves or for others. The truth is we do have high expectations. I know I do. I have very high expectations for people in my life and for myself. It's that when others or events or ourselves don't meet those expectations, the problem becomes that we are surprised. We're surprised by other people not meeting our expectations. We're surprised by ourselves not meeting or achieving the goal. It's almost like we say to ourselves, I didn't even see that coming. And here's the thing, when in reality, humans are being humans and doing humans, doing humanity, doing what humans do, which sometimes is they don't meet your expectations, or they can't, or they won't, and vice versa. Sometimes we can't or we won't meet another person's expectations, and that's being human. We can fall, we can fail, we can fall short, and that's okay. Disappointment is highly linked to perfectionism, and I'll hit that later on in the show. So in reality, humans are being humans. You are a human. You are being human. And here's the thing about disappointment. A lot of times we depend on others to make us happy, and others depend on us to act, be, and do life in a certain way that will also make them happy, right? And that's where disappointment comes in. When we discover that you don't have that much power to make another person happy, and that by modifying, changing, or denying your truest desires, you might be compromising your authenticity, there is a freedom when you disconnect your happiness from somebody doing or being something that you want them to do or be. And there is a freedom when others can let us off the hook for their happiness, that they can be happy from an internal source versus our external. And there's a freedom in that in relationships where you can be the source and resource of your own happiness. And those around you, you can trust that they can be the source and the resource of their own happiness. You don't have that much power, girl. I'm letting you off the hook. People make a decision based on their thoughts and their beliefs on how happy they're going to be. And you make your own decision on how happy you are going to be. So here's where the pen and paper comes in. If you haven't been jotting notes already, good thing this is recorded. You can always go back. But what we're going to do is two activities today. The first one being listing five ways that you have been disappointed by another or by an event or by a situation or by a thing, right? How have you been the recipient, the receiver of disappointment? I'm going to pause for a minute while you take time to think about that, how you've been the recipient of disappointment. If you need more time, hit pause on this recording. Otherwise, we're going to move into our list. I'll share a few of mine. I'm not sure if I'll share as vulnerably as I thought I was going to when I made the list. When my kids moved out, yeah, that felt really disappointing in my body. Even though when my son moved out, he was buying his own condo, I still was like, I'm going to miss him. And I was disappointed that maybe he wouldn't stay like another year with me and save up even more money. And when my daughter moved out, you know, she was 18, and I just thought, oh, you're not doing what I want you to do, right? And so their actions didn't align with what I wanted, you know, for their life or what I wanted for my relationship with them. And so that was disappointed. When my partner gets angry with me or frustrated with me, I feel disappointed in them because it feels like, I know I'm disappointing you. Your reaction is disappointing me. That would be more it. Like the reaction to something isn't healing or loving, or it leads to disconnection. And so I get disappointed when somebody's reaction towards me, whether it's my partner or friend, creates more disconnect than it creates connection, that it's not done in loving ways. That's super disappointing. I get disappointed when friends don't reach out. I really like bi-directional conversations. And if you haven't listened to the episode on midlife friendships for women, a great episode that talks about that bi-directionality. And so when I'm always doing the initiation, when I'm always doing the reaching out, I get super disappointed in my relationships. This past month, I did a lot of traveling. I traveled from LA to New York to New Mexico, Santa Fe area. And three out of four of my airlines changed their flights. Some as late as like 10 o'clock p.m. the night before after I checked in and bought my baggage and all that other stuff. Another one, like right as I woke up at 3:30 a.m. to take my flight, I'm getting a text message saying, you are not going to get home now until like 5 o'clock tonight versus by noon. And handling that disappointment, I think travel can be one of the most humbling experiences in life. It teaches you to not have any expectations or plans on your particular days of travel. Not saying you should like wing it and the best will happen, but even the best laid plans of like when you're going to get home and what you're going to be able to do is like non-existent. So lower or change your expectations on that one. So traveling totally humbles you. And then another disappointment I thought of in making my list is when my business partner ended our business relationship with Hot Pink University, not our friendship. And it was disappointing. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, no, it's fine. You're fine. We're fine. It was disappointing. It was like a death of one relationship and a branching out into another area of our relationship. And I knew she was honoring herself by ending that relationship in that way. But it's still disappointing. And I know that was really hard for her because she, like me, we never want to disappoint people. And so how to handle, here's where I want you to take some notes of how do you handle when somebody disappoints you? So the first part is acceptance, like accepting what happened and what was said and done or what wasn't said or done. And I think we get to acceptance by going through the channels of grief. Sometimes disappointment can be big and it creates like shock and denial. And sometimes we even get into the bargaining phase of, well, if we do this, can you do this? I can recognize this in my business relationship disconnect where I was in shock, like, oh, my gosh, are we really separating our business relationship out all the way to bargaining? Like, well, maybe if you just do nothing and you're kind of like a silent partner, right? So there's that bargaining phase before you get into truly feeling maybe anger about it and maybe eventually frustrated and sadness and then acceptance. So accepting what happened, what was said and done. And here's the big thing. Can you have self-compassion? Can you treat yourself like your best friend versus your worst enemy? Can you be gentle with yourself? Can you have compassion for the other person? Can you find empathy for the other person? And the third step is recognizing your big expectations, and put that in capital letters in your notes, big expectations. And again, I'm not saying that you need to lower your expectations. You just need to understand that your big expectations of what you think life should look like with this person or be like in this situation or this event will be might have an impact or factor in the level and intensity of your disappointment. When three out of four of my flights changed, they all linked back to expectations. I needed to pick up people from the airport on one of my flights. What was the worst that could happen? I'd have to call them and they'd have to find their own way. On another flight, I had to drive 30 minutes out of my way to get to another airport to catch another flight. I had to wake up 30 minutes earlier. Yeah, it was not ideal and it was doable. On the last flight of my trip, I wasn't going to get home till 5. I sat on the phone with the airline for 40 minutes, and eventually a flight to Chicago popped up for her because I was persistent. I really needed to get home by noon. If I didn't get home by noon, it was not going to be the end of the world, though. It was disappointing, but at what intensity, right? So you aimed high. Did it get close? Or did it get close enough even? Right? The fourth step is learning how to distract yourself from the feeling of disappointment, because disappointment is an emotion. If you take my emotional literacy course, you learn about the chemical components of emotions. And eventually, that feeling or the intensity of disappointment will dissipate. Your body will find its way back to equilibrium. The chemicals that shoot out from disappointment, a lot of adrenaline, a lot of cortisol, will eventually metabolize and you will come back down to baseline again in your relationship or in your body, right? And so can you distract yourself in healthy ways? And here's the thing. A lot of people go right from disappointment to numbing behaviors, binging on Netflix, drinking, using something to cope, maybe overdoing it, overexerting themselves with like over exercise, not the right amount, or retail shopping in order to distract yourself. But distracting yourself in healthy ways, meditating, going for a walk, exercising at a reasonable pace, being out in nature and just sitting and taking some deep breaths, all the way to like a good book or something inspirational podcast, right? Distract yourself in healthy ways and let that emotion and the chemicals associated dissipate. And then ask yourself, if you're handling the disappointment, did I give the person enough time and space or preparation to do the right thing? Did I set my boundaries in a way that was clear? Did I ask for the help that I needed, or did I just expect them to like read my mind? Did I voice what I needed and what I wanted from this person? No amount of controlling another person will buffer yourself from disappointment. Disappointment is a natural part and a normal part of relationships. People choose their own way of thinking, their own way of acting, and their own way of doing. And it happens, disappointment happens, even in the truest and most romantic of love stories. In fact, there's five stages in one article that I was reading around love, and it goes like this. The first stage is attraction, and that could say dating, and here's the third stage, disappointment, as reality sets in and infatuation of the infallibility of somebody else eventually dissipates, and the reality of the person is standing before you, not the idealized version of who they are. The third phase of love and commitment is disappointment. From disappointment, it then moves into stability and commitment, but you have to go through the disappointment in order to get to the good, juicy, long-term stuff. There will be moments in even the truest of the stories of disappointment. The synonyms of disappointment, just to help you out here, is disenchantment or disillusionment, frustration, and unfulfilled. So you can relate, right? It's a normal part of long-term relationships. It's a normal part of being in partnership, being in friendship, being in parenthood, being in sibling relationships, in colleagues and working relationships and acquaintances, and in parents. It's a part of moving through our world, from traveling to going out to eat to buying tickets to your favorite concert to just taking a walk. There will be moments and times where your life will be challenged with disappointments. In this last part of our time together, we're going to move into when we are the source and the provider of disappointment. Disappointing others is probably one of my biggest triggers. It's also something I've been working on intensely over the past year, probably since around January, February. I really recognize that my avoidance of disappointing others, of being perfect for the other person in relationships, was actually triggering a lot of issues. And some of it was triggering me to make concessions that I long-term weren't going to really be good for me in order to, like, not be alone, not be rejected, not be abandoned, not be left, like, all those things, right? And understanding that disappointment is not a sign from the universe that your partner is wrong for you or you're wrong for your partner. It's actually just a sign that you're being a human being, that you're being and doing human things. So I want you to take a minute. I'm going to pause, and I want you to write a list of five ways that you've lived your life to the fullest of your expectations and dreams and desires, but that in doing so, or how you showed up in being in your human form, disappointed others. So take a moment and make a list. if you need to continue, you can pause this recording and even take some more time in order to really fulfill your list and think, dig in deep. I'll share a few of mine. Moving to Madison, when I moved to Madison, Wisconsin from my hometown, it was really disappointing. I could see it across my mom's face about moving 2 hours away and not being just, you know, 5 miles down the road. And in order to live my life, though, and really live my dreams, it was something I dreamed and desired of doing, living in a bigger town with more foodie kind of options, performing arts center, an airport nearby. Like, those were all things that jazzed me and something I desired. So I couldn't live small, right? And definitely over this past 2 years of the dissolution of my marriage and eventually leading to the divorce in the last year, that was definitely disappointing to extended family and friends, and their reactions to it sometimes led to extreme disconnect or even my abandonment of that relationship on their part. You know, my heart's open for all kinds of relationships and all kinds of sources of love and support. But sometimes disappointment closes the hearts of others. So their reaction then became closing off of the relationship, right? I know that through the years, my travels, I travel a lot, like almost every other month. And I know that that's been a source of disappointment sometimes in friendships, in my children, you know, this sense of not being as available. But travel for me is a passion. It's really a source of purpose in my life and a deep, deep desire that not played out really leads to a lot of problems for myself. Leaving my private practice, this was an interesting thing. 2015, in order to move, I had to close down my private practice. And it was really a source of disappointing others in a big way because it was a weeks and weeks of chronic saying goodbye and chronic disappointing others that I had to work my way through, and seeing the disappointment across their faces of having to find a new therapist, right? And then another one that I'm really working through is disappointment when I disappoint my partnership, either by actions like, for example, when I work too much or when I get snappy with my words, or the latest one was when I bring my dog into bed with me at night. You know, it's disappointing. And there's times where I stand by, like, I want my dog in bed with me at night. Is there like a compromise here, right? A boundary that would be a win-win kind of situation. But there's some times where my actions are just going to disappoint you. So I want to share an acronym I came up with called How to Handle Disappointment when You're the Source of It. And it's called SAVOR. The S stands for settle into your body and really feel the feeling of disappointing someone. And trust and tell yourself in a deep breath, it's okay. A is attuned to them. And empathize. I understand my actions right now are disappointing you. V is vision, when we can soften our gaze. So vision softening. When we can soften our gaze, we become less threatening to another person and they can start seeing into our humanity in a better way. The O is observe. Suspend your judgment. Suspend your judgment of them or your label of them. You're too sensitive. You're too this. You're too that. And then R is reflect back. Cop to what's yours. Reassure what you can in reality do for them, but not beyond what your boundary is. And stand for what you believe in your truth. What are your boundaries? You have this one life to live. Live it well. I want to thank you for joining me for another 30 minutes of inspiration and knowledge. Again, you can find me at www.hotpinkyou.com. Join my email list and check out all the episodes of Blog Talk Radio. Live your life with passion. Thank you.